You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside Chris, my name is Ryan. We are the official Dallas Stars pod of THPN. Go and use that promo code THPN next time you go and use them DraftKings Sportsbook peoples. Dallas Stars win by a final score of 5-2 tonight over the Arizona Coyotes. Lots of things to talk about in this game tonight. Some fortunate, some unfortunate, but mostly good things from the Dallas Stars in this game tonight. Biggest things to talk about for me, Chris, is they take care as a team. There's lots of individual storylines we'll talk about, but as a team tonight, they dominated the way they should have against an inferior opponent. And a little bit more of my uneasiness with this team and the way they play is starting to be quelled a little bit. So, Chris, what are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. It was, I mean, since the first period, the Stars dominated the game. And the first period, I wouldn't even really blame the Stars too much. They still played well. The Yotes just had a good first period, honestly. That looked like a good hockey team in the first period. And the Stars took it up to another level that the Yotes couldn't match going forward and really took care of business, like you said, Ryan. That's the exact right way to put it. Really love the game tonight. Really like the time on ice. If you go look at that, very spread out between all four lines, very spread out between your defensemen. Love to see that stuff. Every line scored. The guys that you wanted to do well, specifically tonight on the point sheet, do. Sagan gets the goal. We were talking about maybe we got to be a little patient, get him back in. He did have a full month off. Nope, no patience needed. That line immediately clicked right back where it was to start and looked insanely dangerous all night long. And even the guy I'm counting out still, Nils Lundqvist, two primary assists, both really good plays by him individually, trying to force his way into the lineup. Just like I said, he's going to have to play exceptionally well, and he's going to have to cash in offensively. He does it tonight. So pretty much just A-plus all across the board for the Dallas Stars. Love the way they played the game today.
Okay, so do you want to start with all those positive things first, or do you want to hit one of the negative things?
Let's do the positives first. We just won a game 5-2.
Okay, but don't you want to get the negative stuff out of the way
first? Nope, good stuff. Good stuff.
Okay, all right, let's do the obvious one first. We talked about the two players in our last night's episode, and like you said, Chris, Tyler Sagan, We kind of made arguments both ways where it might take him a little while to get it into the lineup and start seeing that second line starting to create offense again like they were before his injury. That didn't take any time whatsoever.
Nope.
And then we also talked about Nils Lundqvist and the fact that he keeps getting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And tonight, both of those things were in the positive for both players. So I'm specifically really excited about Nils Lundqvist because he had a really good game tonight. Really am keeping my fingers crossed that nothing came out of getting that puck to the face. Well, I don't even think it was a face. It was like right here.
Yeah, almost it was like neck, throat area jaw or something. The only issue I could think there is if it broke the jaw, which it was a hard shot, but it did right up the stick. So it was slowed down a little bit. I bet he's okay. I was actually meaning to keep an eye on Pete DeBoer's interview to see if he was or not. I didn't see that. So if y'all know in the comments, please let me know. But yeah, he had a great game for sure. I don't know. I'm still kind of, I saw all over social media, Nils should be the starter from here on out over Hakanpää. I see the point, especially with how poorly Hakanpää played over the past 2 weeks prior to this. But we've seen Nils play just as bad, if not worse, than what we've seen these past 2 weeks from Hakanpää too. So I'm gonna tap the brakes, even as someone who was a Nils apologist for the first three quarters of the season. I'm gonna tap the brakes on Nils for sure being that top guy, because when you get close to the playoffs, having that size and having that ability to kill penalties can be so important. And unless we get this offense consistently from Lundqvist, I'm not sure if it is a fair enough trade. But if he keeps playing like this, it for sure is. So hopefully that just happens and there's no questions.
Let's look on the especially positive side of this. He's had opportunities like this where he's basically gifted back into the lineup because of whatever reason. And he hasn't taken advantage of it when he's had those opportunities. And, you know, honestly, this is like the first time I can think of where he stepped in and he seemed to make a difference. He made a difference in the game tonight. More offensively that we saw, but defensively too. He made a lot of decent plays defensively too. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead. We didn't hear you.
Sorry. I just said, yeah, I was agreeing with you. He made good defensive plays tonight too. He was all around fantastic tonight. It's going to take a lot for me. I mean, I've been on him all season. I've been promoting him. So it's going to take a good, if he plays like this for the next five games, I'm on board, but it's going to take
a bit. Exactly. And again, the key word is consistent. If we can see him do, I'm not saying he has to put up 2 points every single game in order to force himself into the lineup, but what we need to see is once he got those two assists, his confidence went up. And I don't know if you saw, Chris, but his willingness to shoot the puck, which is one of his strong suits, that's something he's very gifted with offensively. I started to see it more. And I don't think it's a coincidence. He was starting to shoot the puck more. So I hope he keeps that going as, you know, however long Håkanpää is going to be out for. I hope he keeps going with that. So, Nils Lundqvist, go ahead.
Yeah, at this point, it doesn't matter how long Håkanpää's out. If he plays this way, he's the guy. But as soon as he stops playing this way, it's going to flip again. So, yeah, he's going to have to fight hard to keep this spot. But I hope he does because I love seeing him. Y'all know how much I love Nils.
Okay, let's traverse to the other guy in the lineup tonight that wasn't in the last game. Tyler Seguin, man. He's not the same guy he was when he was on that dominating line with Jamie Benn, and Jamie Benn won the Art Ross and all that sort of stuff. But man, can he shoot the puck, and man, can he be a difference maker when he is on that line with Duchesne and Marchment. And even, I don't know what it is. Like we saw Duchesne do stuff like this with Seguin out of the lineup. All of these little moves, all of these dangleness that he does. It just seems like nobody could finish anything. And then Matt Duchesne gets a pseudo breakaway. I think he had a step on the defender. Pulls off an absolute sick, beautiful back behind the back pass, whatever you want to call it, to Seguin. And the thing about that is Seguin was ready for it. Like he didn't fully expect Duchesne to shoot the puck. He was ready for it if Duchesne gave it to him. And oh my goodness, that was such a beautiful shot, beautiful play all around. And I hope to God that all three of those guys on that second line can stay healthy for the rest of the season and then into the playoffs. Because with all four of these lines getting in the offense tonight, that ability for the Stars to roll four lines is so stinking important.
Yeah, and it's honestly, the ability to roll all the players tonight is insanely impressive. We didn't have any forward, or the highest time on ice for forwards tonight, I think Wyatt Johnston, 15:59. Nah, Stankoven got it, actually. Two young guys, 1 and 2 on forwards. Stankoven, 16:60, a little bit higher. But all of them, pretty much 1 through 3, had pretty much the same time on ice. The fourth line had a little bit less. And then even down to your defensemen, Lindell actually led time on ice tonight, 22:25. Miro Heiskanen right behind, 21:40. Harley, 20:20, and Tanev, 20:21. And then Suter dropped off a little bit with 18:20, and Lundqvist with 14:14. So that is much better than we saw in the middle of the season when Heiskanen was getting close to 30 minutes night in, night out. So this is how you win playoff series, is being able to roll your lines this way, keep everybody fresh. And especially when you're playing a team like Colorado, let's say, when McKinnon's going to be playing 30 minutes a night, he's going to struggle to keep up with these guys who are going to be fresh as a daisy compared to him.
I really think the only reason Lindell led in time on ice tonight is because of the penalty, the one penalty the Stars took, which, by the way, that was shocking. Two penalties in the last three games? Okay, the Stars are like perfect Princess Cinderella and never does anything wrong in the last three games, I guess. So
they are one of the less penalized teams in the league, and it's because of the fact that we don't play a physical game, really. I think that's a huge part of us not drawing or not taking a lot of penalties. It's just the style of hockey that they play.
Right. Another player that continues to impress, and there's no doubt he's not getting sent back down, but Stankoven again tonight, he's just in the right spot at the right time. He always makes the good defensive play. He's hard on the boards despite his size, and he seems to be in the right place at the right time. He gets the rebound goal tonight off the Nils Lundqvist shot. So what have you seen from Stanky the last couple of games?
Yeah, the skill, the speed, the goal scoring, all that kind of expected. What I didn't expect is what you said, his fight along the boards and his tenacity in that F1 position on the forecheck. It is honestly shocking seeing a guy that small just leap into the chest of the opposing team's defender to try and get him off the puck. And he does it with reckless abandon. I mean, he goes after it every single time he has a chance to hunt down the puck. That's what's been most impressive to me. Obviously, we knew he was a skilled player, but seeing how hard of a worker he is, especially on a third line for this team, I guess we can call it, pretty crazy.
Yeah, imagine Logan Stankoven is on your third line, and somehow he leads the Stars for he co-leads the Stars forwards in time on ice with Joe Pavelski. So it's the oldest guy and one of the youngest guys who leads in time on ice. This team is ridiculous, man. So, moving on from that, from Stankoven, we got to give a huge congrats to Jamie Benn, only the second player in Stars franchise history to hit 1,100 games. That's ridiculous. It seems like yesterday that, at least for me, I watched him when he was much younger, but it really feels like yesterday he came into this league and started lighting it up on fire. I mean, think about it. This guy has been around for so long that he played with Mike Modano.
Yep.
That's crazy to think.
And I love seeing that picture from the Stars social media the other day showing Modano playing with Ben in his rookie season and now Ben playing with Wyatt I guess it's not his rookie season anymore, but he did play with him during his rookie season last year. And man, just seeing those connections is pretty crazy. And yeah, Jamie Benn, obviously he's going to be a face of this franchise for years to come, even after he retires. He's one of the biggest faces this team has ever seen, and he's just got one thing left to do on this team, really.
And this is the thing I was just thinking about, Monto. Yeah, I heard the same thing. He's actually 42 games away. If we're talking about just Dallas Stars games, obviously Modano had several seasons in Minnesota with the North Stars before they moved to Texas, but still that is so cool. He gets rewarded with the goal tonight. And again, Nils Lundqvist shows up in the game again here tonight. Perfect. Like shot pass is what I called it in my notes. To yeah. Ben, and all Ben had to do was keep his stick on the ice. That's basically all he had to do.
Yeah, so Ben let him know on the silly. He let him know that was all Nils on that one. It was a great pass.
And we saw Mr. Razor use the phrase Ben again. I loved to hear him say that when they both got back-to-back goals to make it 3-1. And after that, Chris, the Stars didn't look back. They really didn't. One of the things I really liked about this game as well is, yes, I know it's the Arizona Coyotes, and yes, they've been fine against the bad teams, except for a couple of games like against the Sharks and stuff like that. But they didn't take the pressure off the gas when they got into the third period and when they knew it was going to be a blowout. Like, even at 5-1, they were still trying to get some opportunities on net. Mason Marchment had a couple of chances there when it was 5-1. So that's something that I just wish not trying to be negative, put a little hint of negative on top of it. That's just something that I wish they would do against the good teams too. Yeah. Keep the pressure going at all times.
And there's a reason why those good teams are better too. I mean, the other team has an influence on the game as well. So, yep. But yeah, I agree. We got to keep not the score. Let's score a bunch of goals on the good teams. Obviously you'd like to do that, but the offensive pressure more so than just saying score a bunch of goals on the good teams. You just want to, we don't want to go back into our own end because we've seen what happens when we do that. So keep offensive pressure at all times, like we did tonight. Agreed.
Robo gets the goal tonight as well. And honestly, that probably wasn't even the most outstanding thing from him tonight. Two big hits. I think I mentioned it fairly recently that that's been one of the parts of his games, has been more noticeable this year. Is yes, he's become more of that two-way forward that we discussed. He's not going to put up 40 goals this season, but he is absolutely showing the physical side of the game when he wants to. And it's not like he doesn't have the size to kind of back it up either.
Yeah, he's always shockingly big, in my opinion. I always see him hit somebody, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, Jason Robertson's a big guy. But maybe that's some kind of key that he can use to unlock some more playoff scoring potential as well as we come into this. We saw him get a little bit better last year in the playoffs, maybe still not the world beater that we expected given what he did in the regular season, but maybe a little bit of physicality in the playoffs will help him go even further than he did last year.
That's an absolutely excellent point, Chris, because, again, he didn't really show up in the Minnesota series at all. And our complaint about him in that series was he was absent. Not a factor whatsoever. It's almost like the physicality from the Minnesota game got to him in that series. And now it looks like he's adding that element to his game. You're right. Maybe that can be something added to when we get to the playoffs. That's a very good point there. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Here's some odds for you for the Rocket Richard Trophy, which is the regular season top goal scorer. Obviously, right now, Austin Matthews leads the way. He's got a -330 in the odds. But you can also take a look at Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers with a +650, David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins with a +1,000, or maybe you can even go for Nikita Kucherov at a +2,500. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Okay, couple of negative things I do want to talk about. First things first, it's not as negative because it didn't cost us anything as much, but I did not like some of the moves by Chris Tanev tonight. I thought Chris Tanev had a little bit of a rough game, especially with some turnovers, and mostly in his own zone. He was mostly fine, but for some reason, there were two or three noticeable plays, one at the end of the second and two kind of in the middle of the third that I did not like. You kind of gave me a weird look on that, so I'm assuming you slightly disagree with me. What did you see?
I just didn't notice. I mean, I didn't see anything exceptional from Tanev, but I didn't see the turnovers that you mentioned. So I thought he did what we kind of expect Tanev to do, and he ate a bunch of minutes too. I might have just missed him. I don't know.
Now, the one player that I definitely think he wished he could take it back is Thomas Harley. Thomas Harley had that really bad turnover that led to the first goal by the Arizona Coyotes. And it's not totally his fault. Yes, he shouldn't have turned the puck over. It wasn't a good decision. But that kind of leads into my biggest negative tonight was Otter wasn't overtaxed tonight. He gets the win tonight. He isn't forced to make a whole bunch of saves. But the best way I can describe it, Chris, when it comes to Ottinger is he just did not look comfortable tonight. He looked like he was just kind of there. He mopped it up sometimes, made some decent saves. But like the first goal, when you have prime Otter and Otter is doing really, really well, he makes that save, you know, 9.5 times out of 10. At least that's the feeling that I got. And even on the second goal, I thought it was, yeah, it was a slot shot and nobody was in front of him. But again, it looked like it kind of like handcuffed him a little bit. And he wasn't ready for that shot. And it looked like he second-guessed himself. Okay, he had his glove in the right spot. And then he put it down, and then the puck went over his glove as he tried to pick his glove back up again. So, is that fair? Is that something you saw as well? What are your thoughts there?
I thought he was fine tonight. I mean, he gets the 920 save percentage. He made the saves he had to make. But I agree that the Yotes had two, I would say, grade A chances tonight, and they both went in. I think they're both really good chances. They're both slot shots from giveaways. Hard to react that quick to something like that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think he was that bad. I'm definitely not going to say he's as good as he can be, but I think you can take this. You get your above 900 save percentage and you can kind of build off of this, especially when you play a game that's a little bit closer. I mean, that's when Otter is always better as well. When he's the guy, like he has to do this to have this team win. That's when he seemed to stand up in the past. But I think we just got to keep riding him and hope that he figures this out. And I think a 900 save percentage game, only allowing two goals, I think that's a decent start for it.
I really hope he finds his elite level again, because again, we really need him so badly. We really do, because it's against the Arizona Coyotes tonight, so we're able to pull off the win. And defensively, the Stars were really good as a team for the most part, with a couple of exceptions. And then the offense was able to kind of kick it into high gear with Sagan coming back and Nils coming into the lineup and getting two primary assists tonight. But we really need him to be better. And maybe this will be a good game for him, just to where he can kind of just build up his confidence a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think he played bad at all tonight. I think this is a good game.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, but like, and Joe Mama kind of puts it perfectly. Otter was fine. I mean, he was fine. He didn't cause us to lose the game, and he didn't cause us to win the game. He was just kind of there. He gave us good enough goaltending, which I guess is all we kind of need right now when we have our offense going like that.
And if you want some advanced analytics, the Coyotes' expected goals tonight was 1.9. So he did exactly what you'd expect him to do.
Okay. I haven't read this article yet, but I'll read the article and I'll report back in the next game maybe. But Saad Youssef actually wrote an article about Jake Ottinger. And one of the quotes he's got from Otter himself, it said, "It's been probably the hardest season mentally that I've had in my life. I'm just trying to get back to being myself and having fun." I really hate to hear that last part, because assuming that he's saying he's trying to get back to having fun, it means he's not having fun right now, despite the Stars doing really well. So I don't want to say that's a scary thing to think about, but it's a sad thing to think about, to be honest with you.
I'm kind of fine with that mindset. I mean, this is his first year that he's really struggled to play to the level that he knows that he can play at. So not having fun, yeah, you probably shouldn't be having fun, because there's more than you can give to this team. Yeah, he knows he can play better. If you're losing and you're doing all you can, you're probably still having at least a little bit of fun. If you know that you have more and you just can't get it out, that's frustrating. And I'm not gonna say I'm glad he's frustrated, but I'm kind of glad he's frustrated. I mean, he knows that there's more in him that he can give to this team. He's just got to find it. And that's the tough thing about this position. It is like 90% in the head. So it's just one of those things that there's only one person that can figure this out, and that's Jake Ottinger. And we just got to hope he does before the season runs out.
And maybe the team sports psychologist, or maybe Jeff Reese, the goaltending coach, can help him figure it out too, or at least be a part in getting him back there.
They can but help, again, like it's Otter. It's his deal.
Exactly. So, and Harrison over here in the comments, it really seems like it's all mental for him. I am 100% behind that. I truly 100% believe that.
And honestly, that's kind of what's so cool about that position, like not to kind of just go into goaltending, but it's a team sport that relies so heavily on one position, and that one position is also just such a mental battle night in and night out. And it's just completely different from the rest of the sport. It's really unique in that way, and I think it's really cool. And I think goalies are just a different breed. I mean, everybody talks about that, but they really are. Like, physically and mentally, they're just different, and it's awesome. They're cool athletes.
And it's a very isolating position too. Exactly. I mean, you have to, it's hard to be a goalie. And so I think he can be better. Harrison, he always seems to be our stats guy over here, helping us out with stuff. Since November 12th, he has had an .882 save percentage. It has to turn around eventually. And yeah, that's one of the stats that you can look at and say that a goaltender is doing bad or good or whatever. But that has definitely got to turn around. And he does get a .920 tonight. So the Stars do kind of help him pad his stats a little bit. Let's see if this game kind of gets him some confidence and helps him build that mental wall that he needs tear down that mental wall that's there for him.
Yeah.
So, okay. One other thing I've got is just Wedgwood. Congratulations to Scott Wedgwood. It freaked me out earlier today when I saw that Matt Murray was getting recalled. I'm like, oh no, please no. Please tell me not one of them is hurt. And thank goodness all it is Scott Wedgwood has welcomed a baby into the world, or will be doing so very soon. So congratulations to him and his wife. I believe it's his third child, and it's a girl. If you look at his mask that he currently wears, there is a baby peach on one of the sides that kind of represents his daughter that's either born or fixing to be born. So I'm excited for him. And this kind of goes into the last question Harrison's got over here. Does he start on Friday, meaning Ottinger, or do they go back to Scott Wedgwood? I don't think it would be a good idea to go with Scott Wedgwood, because first off, he's a new dad. So hashtag no sleep. Okay, that's going to affect Scott for a while. And I think you need to throw Ottinger back in there. You got to throw Ottinger back in there, and he needs to play a whole bunch of games upcoming. Again, to try and tear down that wall. It seems like he's got a couple of breaks out tonight. Maybe he can get even more moving forward in the next game. Who would you go with on Friday, Chris? Wedgwood or Ottinger?
Definitely Otter. I don't think he needs to play a whole bunch of games, but he does need to get the normal starters.
Maybe a whole bunch is not the correct word. He just needs to be playing. He needs to not be sitting on the bench.
Yeah, he needs to be playing the normal starters net, and he needs to play those last three big games that we have left against the Canucks, the Jets, and the Avs. So he needs to do that, and yeah. I mean, like I've been saying, hopefully he can figure out what he's got going on up in the brain.
Looking at the standings, Chris, all three teams in the top of the Central currently have 93 points. The Jets have 14 games remaining. The Avs have 13. The Stars have 12. So the Stars do not have the advantage. Points percentage. I was thinking it. But advantage in having games over the other two teams there. So
tennis players
again. Oh, stop it. I don't know what I want at this point. I'm still a little bit scared of the Nashville Predators, so maybe being in that top seed is still not the greatest thing, but I also don't want to have the Avalanche get, you know, home ice advantage. So can the Stars end second in the division at the very least by the end of the season?
The Stars can win the division, and honestly, they should. I mean, this is their division to take. You look at their schedule, it's crazy. We have 12 games, and only three of them we should maybe lose. I mean, the rest of those teams,
the Stars should be
beating up on. I mean, the how weak the rest of the schedule is honestly shocking. So in my opinion, it's the Stars' division to lose still. Even when we have the least amount of games remaining, you just look at our schedule compared to the other teams, Stars should win almost all of these. I forgot about the Oilers. That one's
a big one too. Yeah. All right. Looking at some stats tonight, not many people are in the negative tonight, which is very good. Actually, nobody is in the negative tonight. So that's a very good thing from a defensive side on the plus minus. Points wise, Robo leads with 2 and Lundqvist leads with 2. Again, Robertson is just very quietly, it seems like, this year putting up points. He's the Stars leader, and I think he has as many points as he's played games. Guy is ridiculous. I don't know how he's having as good a season as he is, and it seems like he's having a quiet season. Maybe it's just because he's not scoring 40 goals this year. But, I mean, Marchment with an assist. Stankoven obviously gets a goal. Suter, Harley, Tanev. And, you know, someone we haven't talked about, Craig Smith. Back-to-back-to-back games with a goal in it. And that fourth line, again, gets another goal for the Dallas Stars. So good for that fourth line again. And then Ottinger ends with a .920 save percentage, and he makes 23 saves on 25 shots. So looking at the stats, Chris, not really anything negative to be seen.
Nothing to complain about. Great game from the Stars. Did what you need to do to an inferior opponent.
Okay. I think that's it. We got anything else?
Biggest winner.
Biggest winner, biggest loser. Okay. Let's move on to that. Who you got?
Nils Lundqvist is the biggest winner. I doubted him fully and completely. And game one of his opportunity, he spit right back in my face. I said he needed to play better defensively and he had to show up offensively. And he said, bet. 2 assists tonight. One of them, a good shot that led to the net front by Stanky. The second one was disgusting. I mean, that's a great pass. Perfect pace, right on the tape. Ben didn't have to do anything.
The real biggest winner for me is, since you took the other obvious one, I'll take the real obvious one, Tyler Seguin. He is a difference maker on that second line. And with him there with Marchment and Duchesne, it didn't take any time. Like, within the first 2 shifts, they were already getting scoring chances. So yeah, he's the real biggest winner for me, getting the goal tonight off that ridiculous pass from Duchesne. And then because I can't believe I didn't mention this until towards the end of it, but Craig Smith, he deserves a little bit of a biggest winner as well. And goals, a 3-game goal streak for a fourth liner. That's pretty awesome and pretty good. So those are my 2 biggest winners tonight. Chris, who you got as a biggest loser? Bless you.
Sorry. My biggest loser is Nils Lundqvist. Plays a great game and just gets rocked in the face at the end. That sucked. I saw a comment earlier that said he was just getting stitched up, so it is purely cosmetic. So good. Hopefully he'll be back next game.
Mine is Logan O'Brien. He tries to get Foxa to take a penalty and get his team on the power play, I guess. And Foxa just kind of like just stands there and like laughs at him, and O'Brien keeps shaking him or whatever. And the ref is like, dude, you're an idiot. Go in the box. He doesn't even give him a roughing minor. He's just like, no, you're go in timeout for 10 minutes. And he was in the box.
Just a timeout. Poor guy.
I love it.
Get a penalty on it.
Yep. I do have a question for you before we wrap it up for the night, Chris. I don't know if you saw this. They were talking about it on X a couple days ago. They're looking at doing an Amazon docu-series following like 10 to 12 NHL stars. And I had an idea today that is a little bit outside of the box, but it makes a lot of sense, I think. And I think it would be interesting for a lot of people. So, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So I think it would be really cool to see them follow two people in particular. Matt Rempe of the New York Rangers, the 6'8", 230-pound behemoth who's kind of taken the NHL by storm and fighting every single, you know, guy that throws the gloves in the NHL, it feels like. And then you look, and then you take the guy on the far opposite end of the spectrum, Logan Stankoven. How about that, right? You get the 6'8 guy who's ridiculously large and fights everybody, and then you get the new rookie guy who's probably going to take the NHL by storm as a true rookie next season, and he's 5'8", and just completely opposite ends of the spectrum. Logan Stankoven's more of the skill guy, short, and Mitt Rempe is like the giant, I'm going to punch you in the face kind of guy. Wouldn't that be kind of interesting to see the difference between those two guys?
Yeah, it would, but I'm going to poop on the parade. Since it's anything NHL media related, it's going to be cringy and it's going to suck. So if they can find a way to not make that happen, that'd be great. But the NHL is literally not capable of making any extra media that isn't like that. So
I am trying to be positive about this, Chris. Right. I thought this was a cool idea.
That's a very cool idea. I agree. Okay. The execution will be bad.
Because it's the NHL?
Yeah, because it's the NHL and they suck at media.
You know who else would be interesting to follow as a side tangent and then we'll be done? John Tortorella. Wouldn't that be fun to have a camera follow him all the way through the season?
That's the only guy you're going to get the real emotions from on camera, that's for sure.
I know, right? It was so fun. Okay. Anyways, we'll wrap it up here tonight. Chris, anything else?
Nope. Very good. A lot.
Okay. Thank you guys for following along here tonight. We've had up to 55 people watching live this evening. Thank y'all. There's even more of you watching afterwards. Thank you to DraftKings. Use that promo code THPN. StarcasticRemarks.com is the website. StarcasticRemarksShop.com is the merch store. It's the best way to support us. Go to anywhere you listen to your podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on social media as always and join our Discord. Join our Discord. We comment quite frequently in there during the games, especially when we're hacked off. Along with Chris, my name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening, and Chris is already ready. Chris?
Ow. GG, boys.